Okay. We left off last time. We were still in the middle of Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We had finished reading the Gemara up to the Mishnah, but we were going to talk about the specifics of how a meal ends. And the purpose of a meal ending, other than that you stop eating, which is for most of us it's a good thing, the purpose of the meal ending is to know that you have to make Birchas HaMazon, or perhaps you have to make a new bracha. And here, there is a Machlokas HaRishonim, and the machlokas boils down to, when a meal ends, is it that you must bench Birchas HaMazon, you have no choice? Or is it that it merely, when a meal ends, it constitutes a Hesech Hadas, it sort of interrupts the connection to the Bracha Rishona that you made on the food earlier, and you have to make another Bracha Rishona. So if you say that it is, the Gemara had said that Techach Lenetila Bracha, that Mayim Achronim, once you wash it, you have to make Birchas HaMazon, you're not supposed to interrupt. The Rishonim say, and the Shulchan Aruch says that you shouldn't, and the Achronim say you shouldn't interrupt by talking, by delaying unnecessarily. So the question is, does that mean that if I just change my mind, I really want to eat some more, I'm not allowed to, I have to bench first, and then, if I want, I will go and make another bracha, and I will eat? Or do we say no, that it just means it's a Hesech Hadas? So just as, this may be, Larry had asked this question a while ago, but the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say I sit down in my kitchen to eat an apple. Okay, because I want to eat an apple. And I was thinking about eating an apple, and then I was going to go do what I was going to do. And then after eating an apple, I decided, you know what, I think I'll have some blueberries, or I'll go have some dates, or I'll have some oranges. The halacha is you have to make another bracha. Even though you don't have to make a bracha horn right now, but you have to make another bracha, because if when you ate in your kitchen, so you know what the food is there, you have a sense of what you're going to eat. If I'm in Adrian's kitchen, then she's serving me food, I never know what else she might bring out. She brought out apples now, maybe she sees them enjoying the apples, she's going to bring out oranges, she's going to bring out figs. So then it might be that, as we saw in the Gemara, Anan Ataka de Reish Galusa Samchina. In other words, when you're a guest in somebody else's house, so the Shulchan Aruch explicitly expands this, to not just the Reish Galusa, but to another, when you're a guest in someone's house, you don't know what the food situation is. So when they bring food out, you know this may not be the end of it. So you make a bracha, and your bracha may be assumed to cover anything they're going to bring out. But if it's in your house, and you know what there is to eat, or if it's in your house, and you have an apple, and then you're still hungry, so you start to look in the pantry and discover, oh, I didn't know that there were dates here. So in such a case, again, you have to make a bracha Rishona, because since you didn't know that you had dates in the house, it's not possible that your bracha was going to go on the dates. Now, if you're not the one who does the shopping in the house, you never do the shopping. That is not true for me. I'd say I'm at least through half the shopping, for sure. But if you're the kind of person, you are the prototypical husband who has no clue what's going on in certain aspects of the home, and you decide, you make the bracha, this fruit, and you see an apple, I think I'm hungry for some fruit. And then, when after you finish the apple, you might be hungry, and you're going to start looking in the pantry or looking in the refrigerator. So maybe that, even in your own house, you're a little bit like a guest. That's not a... It all depends upon whatever works in a particular household. But bottom line is, it has to do with the kavana when you make the bracha before you eat the food. What is it that you're thinking at the time? Do you think this bracha might cover other things? It doesn't have to be that it's definitely going to cover other things, but that it might cover other things or not. And one thing I believe it also does say, I don't know if it says in Shulchan Aruch or in the Mishnah Berurah, says that if, let's say, you have an apple, and you intend to eat one apple, but then you decide to have more apples, you don't have to make another bracha for that. It's the same min. I don't know, what if it's you had a Red Delicious apple, but you got a Granny Smith apple? I don't know, where the line is. But if you're talking about from that same fruit that you're eating, and you decide that they bring you more, you're going to have more, so then you don't have to make another bracha. Okay.
Benefit, obviously, we're supposed to make a lot of brachas, we're supposed to make a lot of brachas today, whatever it is, mm-hmm. But it feels like if you could have a fair bit of control over your kavana when making the initial bracha, I don't know what else I might eat, and that be your baseline kavana, or you might try to make more brachas on purpose.
So I think generally we aim not to make more brachas on purpose. If when you look at a number of this, for example, one of the issues that I think we've barely touched upon, we may touch upon it in the next Mishnah, but let's say you're having a Shabbos meal. This can happen. I mean, depends on where you daven. Let's say you daven Hashkama, And so you're not eating lunch till much later. So you might eat at Kiddush, you have something to eat. And now, you know, it's noontime and you're a little hungry. And, you know, but, you know, you're going to wash and make Kiddush soon. But let's say you want a snack. So the question is, what do you do for brachas? And, for example, the Mishnah Berurah notes that if, let's say you're good about to wash, then it's more appropriate to wait to eat the other food until you've actually washed, because it's a bracha she'en tzricha. You don't need that extra bracha. So there is kind of a bias that leans against making brachas when... And we're not talking about a bracha levatala here. Bracha levatala is obviously an issur. Bracha she'en tzricha is a more complicated thing, because how much is ein tzricha? So one of the Mishnah Berurah quotes from one of the Achronim says, yeah, but let's say you really want this before the meal. Like this is something, you know, it will whet your appetite. So then it's okay. Then even if we would say it's okay to do that. So, but I think that the general bias is not to be motzi shem shamayim. So we don't, that's why I always, okay. So anyway, So if you're a lamdan and you know the halacha, then that's wonderful, but that's not the way we usually function in life. In other words, it is possible to sit down when you're going to have your apple and say the following: I know that there might be other fruits in the pantry that I'm going to be hungry for, so I'll have that in mind, make a bracha. And that works. The problem is it's not, you know, we are human beings. We are like the Darwinian creatures. I'm hungry. I want an apple. I'm not thinking about, you know, is there going to be an orange? Is there going to be this? Is there going to be that? That's the way I would see it. But you're correct. A person can have, I say you have to actively, I think the default human kavana happens to be not that way. That's not the way we are. But a person could have such an intent. Okay. Fine. So one possibility is that when we decide the meal is when the meal is over, and that's really what the sugya is talking about. You know, the meal isn't over till it's over. But the question is, when is it over? What is it that you do that indicates the meal's over? So one possibility the meal is over, that if you all of a sudden decide the meal shouldn't be over, maybe then you can eat, but you have to make a bracha rishona again. The other possibility is to say that no, that once you decide the meal is over. So at that point, you're not allowed to eat anymore. And even if you want to eat more, you have to first make bracha samazon, and then you can then make another bracha and eat the new food. Now, why would that be? I believe that there are some Rishonim who essentially deny such a concept. It cannot exist. Whereas there are others who say that no, that you can do something that already means you've begun bracha samazon, and even though technically you haven't said Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, it's inappropriate, it's a bizayon to the bracha to interrupt, because you've already started Birchas HaMazon. Now, in the time of the Gemara, let me hand out, I'm going to share in a moment on the screen, I have some sheets here. I want to first just present, there are really two data points, fundamental data points that the Rishonim, that the whole discussion of the Rishonim, revolves around. So I'm going to now share on the screen, at least for the moment. Okay, so there is a Gemara in Pesachim. Well, firstly, last week we had seen our Gemara, that the Gemara had first raised the possibility, they told a story with Rav Papa, that they had finished a Suda. Gemara doesn't describe how is it that they would go. It just says, Basar de Gamri Suda Sai. Somehow the meal was over, and they brought, and Rav Papa ate, and they challenged him, one second, because don't you know that once you're finished eating, it's also lechel? So he said that it's not over until they remove the shulchan. And then they tell the next story with Rava and Rabbi Zera, who were in the Reish Galusa's house, and there they took the taka away, they took the individual table away. And nonetheless, one of them ate, and he said, because I'm not a taka the Reish Galusa Samchina, which is what I was describing before. And the same thing is true, if you're in a guest in somebody's house, you never know when things are over, or you know that they always might bring out more food. But then the Gemara says, "V'les helchasal kachol hanishmaitza," and all that matters is teichas l'netila bracha, which at least in our Gemara refers to ma'ayim achronim. So once you make ma'ayim achronim, then you have to bench. Now, so that is, so one data point is ma'ayim achronim marks the end of the suda. The second possibility is a Gemara Pesachim, which is the first source on the sheet. The Rav Bruna of Rav Hanan al Talmid, the Rav Habayasre Besudasa. So these students of Rav Barona and Rav Chanano were sitting at a meal. Koy alay Rav Yehi Basaba. Rav Yehi Basaba was he was serving them. He was the waiter. They said to him, Havlon v'nivrach. Bring us a kos of wine and we'll bench. The self amrulai, then they said to him, Havlon v'nishte. Never mind. Let's have some more wine to drink. Amar lohu, Hachi amarav, keved amrisu havlan benivrach, itzuru lechu lemishte. Once you say havlan benivarech, you're not allowed to drink anymore. My taima, why? De aschisu dataychu, you had a hasechadas. Now, just a kind of interesting observation, I forget who points this out. You notice that whenever we have a kos shel bracha with a mitzvah, when do we make the bracha on the wine? Before. With one exception, Birchas Hamazon. Now the reason for that is because Birchas Hamazon is an interruption by its very definition. So to make the bari, in other words, if Birchas Hamazon were to follow the normal pattern, Birchas Hamazon would begin as follows. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Barei Pri Hagafen. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hazana Salam Kulo B'Tzuvah. But because Birchas Hamazon, in its core, obviously, is a hefsek in eating, therefore we have to put the bracha afterwards. Now, in this case, once you say Havlan v'nevarech, so that the fact that you want to indicate you want to bench means that it's an interruption in the eating. Not just the benching itself, but the fact that you indicate means you've had a hesech hadas. You've had the etymology of hesech hadas. I could ask Rabbi Lutzin here, but it's not fair. What is this idea of hesech hadas? So there are actually two forms of the word, and perhaps either one is legitimate. Hesech, we normally say it with a ches, might be something like v'nisach tamei ha'adama. In other words, you're cast away. You're done. You throw the meal away. But I suspect that the actual etymology is based upon an occasional textual variant you find, or a form of this word. It's not a variant. It's heseyap hadas with an ayin at the end. And you have this, you have a language in the Mishnah, it's with an aleph, but I think it's really an ayin. Hisiel ledavaracha. It means to kind of, I may mean to cause you to go somewhere else, to travel somewhere else. Hesech hadas means your mind went, hesech hadas means your mind went elsewhere. That's usually what hesech hadas means, like what we talk about in the tila shedayim. And if you wash, so maybe it's not a problem, there's no problem interrupting between the tila and the bracha, birch samotzi, but as long as you don't have hesech hadas, it means you don't stop paying attention. Your mind doesn't wander somewhere else. So that's...
Hey boys, you know, stop schmoozing, it's time to daven mincha.
Yeah.
Does itself constitute, you know, an intention to daven mincha? Maybe not. Maybe somebody says...
No. So the issue is not... The issue, at least at first, is not davening mincha is the issue. The issue is you can't. You're right. You know, you interrupted your eating. So if I have a hafsaka, if I make a bracha on my blueberries, and then I have a hesech hadas, or I have some type of interruption, I need to make a new bracha on the blueberries. That's the question here. So when he said, so now the real question is, he says itzur lechon lemishte, but he says that the reason is hesech hadas, which could mean, as many rishonim hold, but not all rishonim, that it's not that you can't drink anymore; it's that if you want to drink, you have to make another bracha. Okay, so in previously, had they not sent Havlan Minavar, had they just said Havlan, and he brought a kosad, he brought another cup of wine, so you would have said, okay, fine, so I drink every cup of wine I drink, assuming under normal circumstances, this is a sugya in its own right, you know, if you don't know that you're going to get more wine, whether or not you, each time you have to make a new bracha, that's actually what this, I pulled a little piece out of the sugya about every time they bring you a cup of wine in the meal, another cup, you have to make a new bracha. And it's machlokes. But it really has to, a large part which drives it is the question of what is your assumption when you drink the kos. If your assumption is that the last kos, that this is all I'm having, I'm not having anything more, that constitutes a hesech hadas. When they bring you the next kos, you have to make another bari pri hagafen.
What if you forgot an entire course of the meal and your wife reminds you? No, we're not waiting for benching. It's dessert time.
So that's a really, really good... I want to talk about that in a little bit. But the answer is, I think I might have said right before you walked in, is that assuming that your wife is the one who dictates things, so just as you say, anan ataka, at least in this area, anan ataka the reish galus samchinan, and anan ataka the balabayas samchinan, in this case, anan ataka the balasabayas samchinan, right? In other words, whoever is the one who dictates what the thing is. So you're, and in fact, they say, they says explicitly, let's say you're the Reich says Havlan v'Nevarech, but there's a Balabais, doesn't change anything. Your Havlan v'Nevarech doesn't constitute any half-sake in the Suda. Balabais calls the shot. So in this case, if the arrangement in your particular situation marriage is that not everybody's like that, I'd like to be egalitarian in this regard. So if your wife is the one who normally dictates the tempo and the courses in the meal, so even though you shoot off now and say, oh yeah, time to bench, and your wife says to you, well, no, actually it's not time to bench, so your wife is correct. Not just correct because you're going to listen to her, but correct halachically speaking, because you don't make another bracha. Okay, so...
And I guess at the end of all this, it's a bracha also have to go anyways, right?
Sure. I mean, yes. Although here there's what's that? Right. So the question is.
Well, there are two issues.
Well, what? Right. So the first question is: do you make another bracha? In other words, if you're allowed to, do you make another bracha? There are, however, some rishonim who say that once you say havam benavarech, you cannot eat anymore until you bench, because that constitutes the beginning of berachas hamazon. Now today.
And where did they start berachas hamazon then from?
Same way we did. So this is the question. I'll speak to my Shabbos table whether I'm right or I'm wrong. Okay, so especially when my wife and I are alone, so we actually enjoy talking to each other, and our meals, not the eating part, the schmoozing, can go on a very long time. And then maybe we'll sing some Shmiras, and at some point say, okay, maybe it's time to bench. And the question is, there are a few different options. Well, firstly, I might tend to say Shiram Alos. Okay. If you sing Shiram Alos, does that count in the meal? Well, you know, in my house sometimes, after Shiram Alos, we have to get in a few tidbits of conversation afterwards. That can happen.
So you really would eat?
I would tell you I might drink some water. Yes, it's true at that point, it's rare that you're going to eat. We have to, by the way, we will talk.
You forgot that you said Shiram Alos by the time you.
Correct, you start smoothing. Oh, so that's correct. So, by the way, we also have to talk about, ironically, if not the way you would expect, is there a difference between drinking and eating? Because there's a shita, a couple of Rishonim have, and the Mechaber quotes his one opinion that there is a distinction, but not the way you necessarily would have expected.
Would there be the distinction between what you're drinking? Like today, like water versus wine?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because once you're going to say that you're still allowed to drink, and some of you are saying the meal's not over. I mean, we have to talk about, again, we'll talk about the eating and drinking decision. Right now, let's just assume it's a binary. It's either you're done or you're not done.
Right.
So we sing Shiram Alos. Okay. Then, not too many of us, I think, wash Mayim Acharonim. Almost nobody I know really washes Mayim Acharonim. I know they send around that little thing. It's very nice. It's a Zecher LaMayim Acharonim. That's not Mayim Acharonim. I find that kind of funny, but that's exactly what they do. Yeah, washing your hands off. I think I've mentioned this probably recently before. We talked about this last, but we didn't talk about it. Yeah. Your hands are supposed to be clean when you make birth some other. So the reason why, look, the
they
reason
ate
why,
with their hands.
What?
They ate with their hands.
Correct. They ate with their hands. They didn't using forks and knives. Spoons are a different story for like soup that they always had to use. It's kind of hard to have with your hands. But forks and knives are a fairly recent innovation in terms of eating utensils at the table. Not that we never have it, but like if you eat pizza, when some of us sometimes you eat pizza with a fork and a knife, but most people don't. Right. It depends. But if you typically people eat pizza, you should really wash your hands with soap and water, or unless they're like, you get much on it, because your hands are greasy. Right? It's not covered to the broth. Mayim Achronim, so the Gemara talks about, we saw last week, using shemen. Right, and this question of when that shemen was, but the Gemara had one opinion that haragil b'shemen shemen ma'afal. We're going to see it at the end of the seventh parak. There's a drasha about mayim rishonim and there's drasha about mayim achronim. V'hiskad yishtem v'yisen kedoshim. One of them is shemen. One of them is mayim achronim. Your hands are supposed to be clean l'chod habracha. So, but we don't tend not to do as much because most of the time our hands are actually not dirty. You know, even if in many cases, even a little stuff, the napkin is typically enough to get it clean, unless it's really a greasy food. But for them, mayim achronim doesn't mean taking that little, unless mayim achronim set that they send you and pouring a little on your fingers and passing it to the next set. Mayim achronim means gets up and washing your hands and properly. But arguably, by the way, that mayim achronim doesn't satisfy if there is a requirement for mayim achronim, which isn't the minhag anymore, because the Balei Tosfos say we don't have so much melach sedomus. It's not much suya beinenu. this dangerous salt that it gets in your eyes, we don't have this malice sedomis. But one could still argue that that mayim acharonim, even though it wouldn't satisfy the obligation of washing mayim acharonim, it has a little bit of the same impact. Well, a little bit of the same impact in that it's not less than havlo menavarech. Right? When you do something like that, you say, okay, we're benching now. It's fair to say that Rabosai Nevarech is no less than havlo menavarech. Right? Rabosai Nevarech is not part of Birchas Hamazon. Right? Birchas Hamazon is what begins with the person leading it saying, if you're benching with the Nizamun, begins with Nevarech Shachal Mishalav. That everything else is all, is all a decoration. What? Window dressing, right? Rabbi Sain of Arech, that's getting everybody's attention. Yishem Hashem Rachatel Olam, very nice. We bless God, even though we haven't mentioned God's name yet. The beginning of Birchas Hamazon, Birchas HaZimun, if there's a Zimun, is Nevarech Shachal Mishalav. And then the people respond, Baruch Shachal Mishalo, and the Mezame responds, Baruch Shachal Mishalo. Those are the three lines that begin, are called Birchas HaZimun, and the Birchas HaMazon actually begins with Nevarech Shachal Mishalo, if you make it with Zimun. But Rabbi Sain Nevarech, it should be no less than Havlo Menorech. It just means you might or might not be using a Kosher Bracha. There are two possibilities that could be considered in any circumstance. One is that something that you do indicates a hesech hadas from eating. But if it's only an issue of hesech hadas, then it might be sufficient just to make another bracha on Rishona on the food that you want to continue to eat. If, however, you argue that's the beginning of the bracha, then you're not allowed to interrupt in the benching. You've already started benching, you're not allowed to interrupt. So we have two gemaras. The gemara Pesachim certainly sounds, it says, Aschisu dataychu. It sounds like it's about hesech hadas. It's not that you started benching, it's that you made it clear you don't intend to eat anymore. And certainly, Siluk HaShulchan in our Gemara that we were discussing, and whatever Gamri Su Dosayu means, the first one, is certainly not beginning of Birchas HaMazon, that would just indicate that you're not interested in eating anymore. Okay, but the question of Mayim Achronim, intuitively, I don't think I would have considered Mayim Achronim as part of benching. Right, the purpose of Mayim Achronim has actually nothing to do with benching. It has to do with being finished with the meal. Because at some point after the meal, you want to get the dangerous salt off your hands so you don't blind yourself. That is not, I think, a function at all related to Birchas HaMazon. That's what I would have thought. Okay. As opposed to today, Mayim Achronim.
It's the beginning of benching.
I don't know if it's the beginning of benching.
It's your intent to bench.
Correct. It's certainly a hesechat. I could have argued that Mayim Achronim, I could see Mayim Achronim to get Melach Sedomis off your hands. Not clearly the way the Gemara constructs it. It's not even a hesechadas. It just means it's time for the delicious dessert, but I want to get the salt off my hands because I don't want to, Chas v'Shalom, blind myself. But nonetheless, the Gemara clearly, says, Techof Lenatila Bracha. So somehow Mayim Achronim, maybe because of the Pasuk Viskadish Demi Sem Kedoshim, becomes part, and then probably it's now Ni Hashem Elokeichem, is your benching. So it becomes, it's viewed as at least connected to the benching in some way. So if you take a look first, there's a couple, before we go on the sources and the source sheet, I want to take a look just at the couple of Tosafim. So the Gemara, so the first one, which I mentioned last week, but it's so good it's worth doing Chazara on very briefly. Rabbi Zeira, remember the story was Rabba and Rabbi Zeira came to the house of the Reish Galusa after they took away the trays from them, so you thought you were done. They sent out this delicacies, whether it is Ristana or Distana was. Rabba ate, Rabbi Zeira didn't eat. And Rabba and Rabbi Zeira said to Rabba, we said, Silek, once you remove the table, you can't eat anymore. So Rabba said, I'm relying upon Ataki Reish Galusa Samchinam. So Tosa says, Tema, Tosa Tiba Masa Rabbi Zeira. He says, Tema, lefim asher mefarshim ha'olam, havlon v'nevarech, asur l'mishtei, below bracha shalafana. For those, Tosa says that the olam, the velt explains, that many Rishonim were part of this velt, not all of them.
The velt zot is two tavidei chachamim sitting on two sides of the table. That's the velt.
No, that's the velt. Okay. So Tosa here quotes the olam who's saying that, unlike Rashbam in Arvei Pesachim, Rashbam says you're not allowed to eat anymore, you have to bench. But many Rishonim and the Velt say that Asur L'Mishtei below Bracha Shalafanav, that's, you can drink, you just have to make another Bracha. Amai lo achel, why did Rabbi Zera not eat? Libracha la v'lecha, let him make another bracha. Why did he give Rabba such a hard time? It might have been that it was something that required, if you had a hesech hadas, which Rabbi Zera thought it was, you had to wash and make hamotzi again, and he didn't want to wash. Because washing, you have to avoid washing. Okay. Correct. Not new at all. Okay. Now, Tosos, this is very quickly, this is Davis for Pesach. The next Tosos says, Ataka the Rishkalusa Samchina, Misha Shachach Lechalaki Koman, the Amar Havam the Devarech, Eno Hesech Adas, the Nan Ataka the Rahamana Samchina. We are upon the Shulchan of the Bonshon, not because he does provide us with food, but because he commanded us. So the fact that you forgot doesn't matter. In other words, it's almost the Hesech Adas is not just a cognitive process, it is partially restricted by other factors, by others. It's not just I thought I wasn't going to eat anymore, as opposed to by the Reish Galusa, which is I realized the Reish Galusa. No, I could have thought I wasn't going to eat anymore, but we also understand, because I am in a situation where there's a Reish Galusa, or there's a Rabbono Shalom who commanded me to eat Api Koban, that's enough to say that it definitionally is not a Hesech Hadas. Okay. And then Tosus at the end says, V'hadamrinam, I'm going to skip a couple of lines. V'hadamrinam ki amar hava medevarech asal mishte v'chein asurim kulam hainu dafka ki amar balabayis avolo oreach. It only is if the, in other words, the balabayis says hava medevarech, nobody can eat anymore. But if it's an oreach, doesn't bind anybody. And Tosha says after the parentheses, v'af ihu gufa yachol lachsa v'lachom balabayis. Even the person who jumped the gun, the guest who jumped the gun, he too can still eat. Okay. Now, the last Tosus here is Tosus Dibar Maschel Tefach Lenetila Shadayim Bracha. It's the third wide line of Tosus. Tosus says Vehilkach. Since the Gemara says that the halacha is Tefach Lenetila Bracha, Vehilkach Kevan Shenatal Yada Vachrono LaAchar Suda Osur Lechol Ad Sheivarech. You're not allowed to eat until you make a bracha. And this is the tricky part. What does it mean you're not allowed to eat until you make a bracha? Which bracha? Birchas Hamazon?
No.
Or bracha Rishona? Then he says, "V'hu adin amar havlam v'nevarich afilu below netila." Even if you say havlam v'nevarich and you didn't do mayim achronim, the same thing applies. So there are two ways of reading Tosos. The first way of reading Tosus is to say that the fact that Tosus says that there are two demons that are the same. You washed by Machlonim, or you said Havlam Benevarech, even though there was no Netilah. And since earlier Tosus said, maybe, that by Havlam Benevarech, you're not allowed to eat or not drink without a bracha, but you can make a bracha and drink, so too by Netilas Mayim Achronim as well. You would say by Mayim Achronim, if you wash Mayim Achronim, if you now want to eat stuff, you have to make another bracha, and presumably you have to wash mayim achronim again. However, it's not entirely clear that that's what Tosus is saying, because if you think about it, Tosus in the first one that we looked at, Rabbi Zera, Tosus didn't necessarily adopt that position. He was trying to explain, if the Velt is correct, when they say that you're allowed to eat, you just have to make a new bracha, then how would you explain the story with Rabbi Zera? And the answer is, you could explain the story, you could fetch away the story that Rabbi Zera just didn't want to bother. There was some bread in the distana. However, it may be that Tosus doesn't actually hold of that. And when Tosus says here, Techot Netilas Yadayim Bracha, Tosus says that Netilas Mayim Achronim and Havam Benabarach have the exact same thing. You're not allowed to eat until you bench. It's not clear, at least from this line, what Tosus holds. The only thing I think I can, the simple reading of Tosus, is that the din in the two of them is the same. Whatever the din is by one, the din is by the other. Which, as we will see in a little bit, is not the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Shulchan Aruch is actually going to have a split here.
In terms of
versus the Tila Sadaim, correct. Where one of them is
you can make it, you can drink one of them.
One of them is a Hesed Chadas, one of them is the beginning of Berachas HaMazon, the way we might quote it. Yeah. Okay. So now, if you take a look on the source sheet, Rabbeinu Yonah, Ela Kolzman Shalonata Yadav Lebracha Matzi Achel, he's quoting the Rif. The Rif doesn't really make clear anything here. Like, in other words, the Rif here, if you were to look at the Rif, it's not clear whether or not you're not allowed to eat anything before Berachas HaMazon with a new bracha, or no, you can eat before Berachas HaMazon, you just need the new bracha. You can't tell anything from the Rif here. The Rif in Arvei Pesachim on Havlam V'Nevarich states explicitly that you need to make another bracha in order to drink. In other words, it's not that you can't drink anymore, it's that Hesed Chadas requires another bracha. The Rif is explicit in Sachem. But here, you can't tell what he holds. By Netilas, by Mayim Achronim, you can't tell whether the Rif holds that you're not allowed to eat, period, no matter what, you have to bench, or just you have to make another bracha. You can't tell. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'af al pi shel inyan yayin, kevan shesile dato melecho, V'ha'amar havlon v'nivarech, osur lo lishtos ad shivarech, V'inyan hapas ein okay. Ela af al pi shesile dato melecho, V'afilu suko hashulko hashulchan, im ratza lachzer lachilaso, ein tzarech levarech pam acheres. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, havlon v'nivarech, you're not allowed to drink anymore. But you can eat. Why can you eat? Because it's only a Hesed Chadas legabe yai. It's only has an impact on yai. But by eating, shekol shelo notal yadav levarech lo nistalek legamrei meachila sapas. That's what he says. So mayim achronim is what stops you from eating. But Havlam v'nevarech, I mean, it would be very strange if you said Ravosai nevarech. Oh, wait, I forgot about that delicious dessert. You know, I forgot to serve the roast. Right? Stop, hold the presses. So, I don't know, again.
You can't drink.
What's that?
You can't drink.
So that becomes the question. Once you're eating, that's the mission requires, are you now allowed to drink along with it? What you can't do is bring out a new bottle of Chardonnay. Let's have a little drink. That's done. Then Rabbeinu Yonah continues. He says, V'achar shenata yadav, ein lo lishtos, v'afilu bibracha. You can't at that point drink, and I presume eat either, even if you make a bracha. Shekevan shenata yadav, yesh lo levarech, v'techaf l'netila sedayim bracha. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that havlan v'nevarech, he doesn't say explicitly whether you could drink with another bracha, but I imagine you probably could. But you're definitely allowed to eat. However, if you wash mayim achronim, it's over. There's no more eating and drinking. You're mechuyev to bench. That is Rabbeinu Yonah's position. Thank you for asking the question. That they're quoting Rabbeinu Yonah. The parish on the Rif is often referring to Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. So when they quote me P Mori Natsarach on Aparte, it's Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah. So we call it Rabbeinu Yonah. The parish is often said to be Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is their recording of his opinions. Okay. Now, when you look in Shulchan Aruch,
it seems kind of counterintuitive that you're allowed to eat,
but not drink.
I mean,
yes.
That's the way.
Yes, that's what a lot of Rishonim right. Disagree with that. Yes, that is correct.
Is it just because it would be such a tircha if you had a thin theory, if you wanted to eat bread?
No, that, I don't think it's driven by that. It's driven by a sense that it's that, you know, the fact that you can't, I would assume, Rabbeinu doesn't say it, but the fact that once you wash mayim achronim, you can't eat anymore, period, means that Berachas HaMazon has begun. It appears that there's an assumption here that there is no tziluk from eating until you start Berachas HaMazon. Drinking, remember the eating, you wash tamotzi, you bench at the end, everything in between is part of the meal. The drinking, and by the way, I suspect the drink, I want, what's that?
Right.
But that's only because hamotzi doesn't cover them at all. Doesn't matter what your das is. You can't, it doesn't work. Let's say you have a, fruit. In between courses, you have some fruit. It doesn't help if when you make hamotzi and you walk, when you make hamotzi, I want it to come through. It doesn't work. It's not bal mechamasa suda. I should make clear here, the drinking here is probably drinking only of wine is the issue. Any other, if they were drinking water, it would have been as part of help digest the food. It would have been.
Well, what about today?
What's that?
What about today?
Well, I think.
Could you have Coke Zero?
So.
Well, water, right? Because people drink water as a drink now,
No. But I think that people don't. Most people don't sit around. You know, when you want to sit around and have drinks, you know, a Coke might be, but I'm not even sure that. Oh, let's bring out the fancy sparkling water and we'll sit around and converse. That's not what people do, right? They pull out the alcohol typically. You don't invite someone over. You might send someone over for a wine tasting, you know, to have a drink and socialize. You don't invite people over to drink water. Even at a Yom Hazeh,
But some of the people do drink only water.
No, that's correct. But then they're not usually socially drinking. And when they drink the water, it's only because other people are drinking alcohol, which they're refraining from. So I don't think that water. I think water is still really part. Water is not. It doesn't have its own independent existence. I drink water too because I'm thirsty. I understand that, but that's part of sustenance as opposed to, when you don't drink wine. Because you're thirsty, I think. I'm not really a wine drinker. You don't think you're thirsty. And you don't drink it, despite what the Gemara said in the first sugya, you don't drink it for sustaining. I know the Gemara says it's soyed and zon, but that's not our wine. It's kind of what's fine. Their wines were, as were they, were so unusually special, we don't do that anymore. So I think when people drink wine, unless it's part of the meal, it has an independent existence. Wherein, not for the purposes I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. Water, even if I drink it outside.
You argue that alcohol service is the same. Any alcohol
service. Yes. I would say that any alcohol is the same as wine in that regard. In other words, there would appear to be a shita that even if you're according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you're allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink. I assume you could drink water. I assume that you couldn't drink wine. According to that shita, you couldn't drink wine. I would also assume you couldn't, have a shot of whiskey. It would be the same thing. In other words, drinking of water is really, it might be shtia, but it's actually called achila. Whereas drinking of the wine is shtia.
Right, and the soft drink may fall somewhere in between.
I guess. Yeah, although I don't think most people gather around to drink Cokes either. Again, it's usually the substitute. You go if you're you can't drink alcohol for whatever your reasons, halachic, personal, biological, physiological, addiction, whatever it is, so you get the Coke. But nobody comes around, let's get out together and we'll get Cokes. That's just and that might I'm pretty lame with that.
No, that's a silly comment, but I do so much of what we do is controlled by what we have in mind, right? We say...
To an extent, yes.
So we do that with have in mind, you're going to be making promotes here, have in mind everyone at the table for your kiddush, right?
Whoa. That's the kavanah to be mostly someone a mitzvah, so I wanted to put that in here.
Oh, but that's also something that we have in mind, and that's what we control it. So this seems like the easiest, most lenient way to do this would be to say... You have in mind that you're still done. That you're done with the meal. You're not done with the meal. You can't change your mind. You can't change your mind. We're talking about that, and here we've pushed it all the way to you're starting the bracha. So it wipes out all that have in mind problem. Right?
No, but not necessarily. Havan v'nevarech is not might very well not be part of Berachas Hamazon. It's just that it's a hesech hadas, and what you have in mind does count. I think that part of the reason, we don't ask the person, okay, what did you have in mind? Because guess what? I'll speak for myself. Most of us live our lives somewhat mindlessly. When we get into it, that's how we function. The things that we do by routine, we don't need, system two, we don't need system one, we rely upon system, maybe I'm backwards, system two, most of the time. That's because otherwise we couldn't function. But, so therefore, we instead of saying, well, what were you thinking when they removed the table, when you said, Hava Minavarech, we must, instead we decide, the way we handle things is, what does it usually mean? You do have the power, probably in most cases, to override that. If you say, Befevrish, Hava Minavarech, but I'm not sure I want a bench yet, so I might need some more, that's not a Hesech Hadas. But that's just not what normally happens. When I say, You know, or if I say let's bench, it's not because I've gone through the cognitive process. Okay, my achila is done, so it's a hesed. No, I just because I know you get to the meal. It's what you say, let's bench. So what am I really thinking? You know, was I thinking, oh, maybe I want one more cookie? I don't know. So the halacha has to say, okay, this is what it usually means. So unless you explicitly overrode that because you had this very, you know, lumdish, you know, thought in your head. Yeah, correct.
You were some, actively involved in...
Yes, that's correct.
Engaged in the process.
Yes. Yes, I mean, that's its own novelty. Is it possible to have a negative kavanah, not here, but negative kavanah, let's say, for a mitzvah? Can you make havdalah in shul? Assuming that some women don't make, the Rambam mentions a minhag, women not going to make havdalah. So, if you're the person to make havdalah in shul, can you make havdalah to have in mind to be motzi anybody in the shul's listening, but you shouldn't be yotzi yourself? It's a very gra thing to do. But, okay. So coming back to the question, it may be that Birchas HaMazon, and there's really two different activities going on here. There's eating, there's your meal, there's sustaining yourself, and then there's the people like to drink some. And so it's possible, Havlam Menevarech, obviously it means you're interested in making Birchas HaMazon, but it might be also because it's the Kos Shel Bracha, that the next cup of wine has now been marked as the Kos of Birchas HaMazon. You turn around, you want to drink it as a regular Kos. Oh, guess what? You got to make a new bracha on it. But with regards to the eating, it's not over till it's over. Right. What's that?
Or you can't make a bracha.
Or you can't. Okay, fine. You can't make a bracha. Whereas it comes to the eating, it's not over till it's over. It's over when you maybe when you wash my machronim, if that's the beginning of venture. Okay. Now, the tour writes here, the third source. Gomer sudaso venata yadav mayim achronim osur lecho. Perish Rashi ad shivarech birchas hamazon. That's what Rashi says. And it means that Rashi, what does Rashi say by Havlam Benavarech? Well, they quote Rashi in Pesachim and Havlam Benavarech is that you're not allowed to do anything to your bench. I mean, you can't even make another bracha. But as we all well know, the Rashi in Arabic Pesachim is not Rashi. It almost looks like it was an abridged version of the Rashbam. But Rashi in Perek Yisei Adam in Chulin, in the sixth parak, Rashi there says explicitly that you're allowed to drink again, you just have to make another bracha. So it means then that according to Rashi, should be Rashi on our daf, so Rashi, Linatila Shadayim, if you just look back into the Gemara for a second, said, the Mayim Achronim, Birchas HaMazon, I don't think that means on the food they're bringing yet. It means on the mazon that you ate. Certainly, you could really stretch and read it the other way, but that's not the easy way of reading it. It's not how the Torah read it. So he says that Rashi says you're not allowed to eat anything. You have to make Birchas HaMazon. The lo nirakein, says the Torah, the hetzeh hadas eino maskik bracha achron al masha ocha. So the Torah says, no, that's not correct, though. The Torah says, you're allowed to eat, you just got to make another bracha chana. Hesech hadas means you lose the connection between the bracha and the shalom, the food. It doesn't demand that you make a bracha chana right now. Ela peirush osur lishtos v'lechol ad shivarech alav tchila, v'cheivan shenat al yadav kidei levarech hesech hisiach dato milechol v'lishtos, the ein habracha should be made tchila, the bracha that you made on whatever you made it on food, on hamotzi, on wine, that bracha that you made originally is not poteras basherotza lecha v'lishtos od. V'lachein tzarech levarech alav. Fine. So he disagrees with Rashi, and he disagrees with Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says that even mayim achronim doesn't prohibit you from eating, it just means it's a hesed chadas, you need to make a new bracha rishona. He says, "V'i amar havlam v'nevarev, have hesech hadas kemo netilas yadayim." Same, you know, they have the identical din. U'mi shesomech al shulchan achir, v'afilu amar havlam v'nevarev, lo have hesech hadas at shiyomer balabais. It's not over until balabais says it's over. Okay.
Let's say you watch.
You watch my machronim. So I think that we probably for the tour, it's the same thing, right? It's not if Havam Benavarech is not a Hesech Hadas, then why should Mayim Achronim be Hesech Hadas?
Because you're dependent on the Baal Bayis to bench.
As you are if you made Mayim Achron as well. I would faster see. You say Havlan Avarech, it means nothing. You're right. You could argue that by Mayim Achronim, you've started your benching.
Okay.
I think that's correct. It doesn't sound that way from the Torah. Right? But you would expect him to make that distinction. Why? Because he says Soli Hesech Hadas. So, according to the Torah, it also has to be, even if you watch Mayim Achronim, the Baal Habayis said, hey, dude, we're not done. You're still can eat. Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch, needless to say, Beis Yosef goes on at some length. The Beis Yosef acts as if there's nobody who holds like the Torah. Nobody holds that way, that Mayim Achronim is the same din. It's not entirely clear. I have not been able to find, other than the Torah, somebody explicitly claiming that even by Mayim Achronim, you're allowed to turn around and eat again as long as you make a bracha mishana. So in Shulchan Aruch, he writes, this is the third source, the fourth source, the last source. Gamar Sudasa, Benata Yadav Mayim Achronim, Eino Yachal Lechol, Velo Lishkos, Ad Sheivarech Berchas Hamazon. So he paskins like Rashi against the Torah and says that once you wash Mayim Achronim, everything is off the table. I was after the words came out of my mouth, I was trying to decide, no pun intended, I wasn't sure, Vilo v'im omar havlan v'nevarech have hesech hadas v'asur olishtos ela im ken yivarech alav tchila v'achila dina kishasiya l'harash. According to the Rush, quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, who says there's a difference between achila and shdiya, and the Rush says he thinks it's wrong. He says, lo nehir, it doesn't seem right. So the first opinion that the Rush, that the Mechaber quotes, is that why havlan v'nevarech, it's a hesech hadas, and therefore if you want to drink or eat, you have to make a new bracha. It's not that you can't, you have to make a new bracha. Aval harav Rabbeinu Yonah Baharan, achila shani. Achila is different. Aval pisha silek yadomi lechol, vafilu silko ashukhan, and ratza lachzer lachila. So, even if you're finished eating, and they took the shulchan away, if you want to eat more, ein sarech levarech pam acheres, shekol shalom natal yadav, lo nistalek legamre me achila. Okay, it's not a complete siluk. Again, it's fair, it's an accurate depiction of Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion. The question I have is conceptually, what is Rabbeinu Yonah thinking? The way we have framed it, and the Beis Yosef, I believe, does explicitly quote those who frame it this way, is that if you hold that you're not allowed to wash after, you're not allowed to eat, even if you make a new bracha to Mayim Achronim, you're saying Mayim Achronim is the beginning of the benching. Rabbeinu Yonah does not say or imply that in his language. He doesn't really say. In the Shulchan Aruch's formulation of this, is lo nistalek legamrei me'achila doesn't make it sound as if it is rooted in being part of Birchas Hamazon. It's just rooted in the question of when is it really over? So you wash Mayim Achronim, then it's really over. You could even argue the logic being that it's a tircha to wash Mayim Achronim. So once you did, it's one thing if you're sitting there, you think you're not getting any more. Big deal. Okay? And the waiters come and take away the table from you. Big deal. But if you have to go wash Mayim Achronim and you've done that already, it's like, no, I'm really done. I don't want to do that. That's a big deal.
Right. Like washing again.
Correct. It's having to go wash again, right?
Yeah.
So
we have like four variables in various combinations. Right? We have eating and drinking.
Yes, and then we have Havel and Avarech versus Mayim Achronim. Yes.
Combinations going this way and that way.
Yes. So, now, the good news for us is that we don't actually wash Mayim Achronim. Now, even if you, almost nobody does. And again, I think those people, I think psychologically you can understand. If they pass a little thing around, it's not any different than Shira Malas. You could argue Hesei Hadas. It's hard to argue that it's not part of Birchas Hamazon because it's not Mayim Achronim. Psychologically, the person who gets up and goes to the washing station and washes, if we get our tuchus out of the chair and go wash Mayim Achronim, we're done. Right.
So I have another variable to introduce.
Okay.
It's personal. It's like if they go to get their jacket or their hat, is that the same thing?
I would argue that is, if you say that, again, That, I think, is the equivalent of getting up to wash mayim acharonim. And I think you would have to, again, it's not, it can't be part of birchas hamazon. In other words, because it's not, mayim acharonim is actually a chiyuv. I'm not minimizing the importance of showing cover of birchas hamazon on your hand jacket, but the Gemara doesn't say you have to put on a hand jacket for birchas hamazon. Mayim acharonim, and it doesn't say teichaf lahad and jacket bracha.
Right.
It says teichaf l'netila bracha.
Right.
Therefore, if you're going to argue it should have the din of mayim acharonim, it has to be that you interpret Rabbeinu Yonah on the grounds of it's silek legamrei, not on the grounds it's part of birchas hamazon. Now, and again, according to, if you adopt that, now again, if you adopt the tourist position, then they can change their mind. No question about it. But if you adopt, the position that Beis Yosef presents, not the way he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah here, that the mayim acharonim is part of the beginning of birchas hamazon, then I don't think the din would apply to the hat and jacket. It might be a hesek hadas, but you should be allowed to at least make another bracha and then eat some more, as opposed to if you actually wash mayim acharonim for that shita, it's the beginning of benching. If, however, you argue the way I would say it sounds for Rabbeinu Yonah here, that mayim acharonim is because it's silek legamrei, and it, especially, again, you have to think about their circumstances where it's a big tircha. For us, you walk over to the kitchen sink. It's a tircha, but not the same thing. For them, it's even bigger tircha. If that's the terms in which you're framing it, that's a sea like the gamrei, I think the hat and jacket might be the same thing, that it would be usher for them to eat again. To eat or drink again, you have to make breakfast about it first. And then if you want something more, bench, and then again, go do the rest. Okay. So what I would say, really, really, there are three shitos with respect to mayim acharonim. Either it's a hesek hadas, and it's mutter to make a new bracha, or it's silek legamrei, and it's aser, or it's part of birchas hamazon. Yeah.
So correctly done mayim acharonim, get up to wash his face.
I don't remember. I'm thinking the Gemara in
washing your hands.
Yeah. So firstly, the I don't think the Gemara ever talks about explicitly mayim acharonim, how you wash mayim acharonim. Mayim rishonim really is discussed because there's a question of washing twice, and if you use enough, if you use a revius in one shot on each hand, you don't need to wash twice. It probably is actually better to wash, you know, fill up a cup and wash a full revius on each hand once. It's probably actually, there are many halachic applications that don't come up if you wash that way. But mayim acharonim, the Gemara talks about, they thought mayim rishonim you can wash al gabe karka, but mayim acharonim you shouldn't. But they never talk about how you wash mayim acharonim. It's clear to me that the proper way to wash mayim acharonim is to go over to the sink, turn on the water, take, you know, soap, and clean your hands properly. That's the proper way to wash mayim acharonim. You don't make a bracha, as we mentioned last week. There's no bracha. What? It's to clean your hands.
As opposed
to wash. Yes. Yes, correct. There's no tomia. By my look, the reason why we do two is it's midrabanim, but the first water, while it's mitar the adayim, the first water becomes tameh, we use the mayim shniim to be mitar the mayim rishonim. That's the reason washing twice. If you pour a full revius on your hand in one shot, not only is it mitar the adayim, but it's also not mitar tuma. Imagine revius is the minimum shear. I mean, it's all derabanim. It's the minimum shear of a mikvah, for kelim. Theoretically, midaraisa, if you have a little puddle of rainwater on Lexington Avenue, and it accumulated there, and you have a little needle that was tameh, and you want to be mitayaret, you can stick it into a little puddle midaraisa tar. If there was a revius in there, it's like 3-4 ounces. So you pour one revius on your hand in a shot. It both is mitar the adayim, and it doesn't become tameh, so you don't need mayim shniim to get it off. But by mayim acharonim, so there's no such discussion of it. What? Pour one revius in a shot?
Yeah.
I try to do that, you know, unless the cup doesn't have enough. When I have it, I like to fill the cup and do it. At least, even I might wash twice out of habit, but at least try to get a full revius in a shot. Yeah.
How much is the revius?
3 ounces. Yeah, I mean, the Chasonish would say 5 ounces. I will tell you, by the way, just because I have the opportunity to say it, I like to tell people this. I was an aide de Yichud at a wedding a few months ago with Rabbi Michael Taubes, a colleague at Yeshiva, and he told me that there is a reliable source. I don't remember if it was directly Rav Nevensal who said the Chasonish was Chozer Bo at the end of his life, and he said he was wrong about the Shirim. You know. I know that sounds like the Rambam at the end of his life, you know, decided he was all wrong about, you know, his philosophy and so on. But actually, I think it was from a reliable source. It happens to be, it's clear that's not, Chazanish was the one.
5 ounces?
About 5 ounces, yeah. Chazanish was in a small chain of Gedolei Yisrael who all decided the Shum were wrong. Klal Yisrael never listened, and Klal Yisrael was correct, actually. That seems to be pretty clear, but the fact that the Chazanish might have been Choser Bo. So anyway, you asked me what Revius is for all purposes. The answer is high in the, I think it's just under 3 ounces to tell people 3 ounces is a Revius. Okay. My wife doesn't like that. You know, my Shur Matzen Morer, she claims that, you know, Morer, you know, I tell her, you know, because ice is pretty small, she feels that we need to have much more than that. So, okay. Well, she can't force feed me, but she looks at me and thinks I'm not so firm. So, okay. Fine. And the last couple of things in Shulchan Aruch here. Misha somech al shulchan acherim, afilu omar havlon v'nevarech, lo hava hesfech hadas at shirma balabayis.
What is that?
A suggestion.
That's a suggestion. That's correct. That's only a suggestion.
Every Friday night.
Okay. Well, you need to have somebody to tell you when it's time to stop the schmoozing and time to move on. Finally.
We already know this, so didn't we already
set it up?
Base?
Yeah.
But, well, that's Tosis. It's Shulchan Aruch, that's all.
I'm saying, but it wasn't.
Nezocher
this year. It wasn't Aleph.
No, because this is Somech. No, this is in Aleph. It's talking about you. This is what it is. Here, Beis is. It's not a siluk if you're the Oreach and the Balabais isn't the one who said it. By Misha Somech al Shulchan Acherim afilu ham levarich lo havehesach hadas acheyomer Balabais. And finally, Sif Gimel, which is not in the Gemara, but it's Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Beis Yosef cites Rabbeinu Yerucham. Just so you are aware, it's worth doing Chazara. The Maharam Rutenberg had at least five very prominent Talmidim. One was Mordechai Ben Hillel, the author of the Mordechai. One was the author of Hagos Maimonides, the commentary in the bottom of the Rambam, who always quotes the Ashkenazi Torah, you know, where, you know, mostly disagreeing, but when it disagrees and sometimes agreeing with the Rambam. And then there's the original Tashbates, the Shari Dura, and finally the Rush. Okay, I left the Rush for the end. The Rush fled to Spain. Not all the others managed to get out of Germany. And the Rush, one of his most prominent Talmidim was Rabbeinu Yerucham. He has, I think, two Svarim. One is on, I forget, Or Chaim related stuff. It's called Toldos Adam B'Chava. And I think the Sefer on Choshen Mishpat is called the Nesivos or something, I can't remember anymore. But anyway, so Rabbeinu Yerucham was a Talmud of the Rush. The Beis Yosef quotes him a fair amount. And here he quotes him with the following din, which he now quotes in the Shulchan Aruch. Im lo amar havlam ben avarech, v'gam lo natayada. If they didn't say havlam ben avarech, and he didn't wash his hands mayim achronim either, mishenatal hakos levarech hanehesech adai. The person picks up the kos, he hasn't said a word, that constitutes a hesech adas. In this formulation, I would assume if you put the kos down and you want to drink it, you have to make a bari priyagafen. If you formulate it in terms of hesech adas, right? In other words, we really seen. And to go back to this point, there are really three possibilities of what you're doing. You could have a hesech hadas, you could have siluk legamre, or you could have the beginning of berachas hamazon. Obviously, if it's the beginning of berachas hamazon, you can't do any more eating or drinking because you've started berachas hamazon. If it's a hesech hadas, it would appear that, well, you can, because you just have to make a new bracha. And it appears that siluk legamre, it's not a category that was necessarily clear when we finished reading the Gemaras, but Rabbeinu Yonah's formulation and what the Shulchan Aruch quotes, siluk legamre might also be, if it's a total siluk, maybe you're just not allowed to eat anymore. Okay.
Side issue here, it just seems that nobody benched without a coast.
Yes, it was pretty common that they benched the coast. Yeah. So, you know, I think there are three shitas in Shulchan Aruch when you require a kosher bracha. Always, never, and then I think if it's a zimun of asara, unless there's a fourth shita.
Zimun of three.
A three. I don't remember. The Shulchan Aruch three sheetahs. I don't remember which one of those is not there. Those are the four possibilities. You always require a kos. You require it with the zimmer shlosha. You require all with the zimmer azar. It's not required at all. It's optional. The minhag, I think, assume it's optional. I've always wondered also, there are two reasons I could think of that. Firstly, some of us don't drink wine. So it's not like, you know, it's not like you couldn't bring out a cup of grape juice but it's just not part of what we do. Like, it's not part of our meal, even. It also may be, in many points, that people are too poor and they couldn't afford it. In the time of the Gemara, that's clearly talking about making Havdalah, there was three stages of the Takana when you had Havdalah. Originally, Havdalah, why do we make Havdalah in Atachonin? We say Atachonin Tanu, and then we make Havdalah when we go home. So the original Takana was that you made Havdalah a coach. There was no bracha. There's no addition to the fourth bracha or anywhere in the Amidah about Havdalah. When they became very poor and they couldn't afford it, I don't know what the historical, what these correspond to, but the Gemara just describes three stages. We might have even seen this a while ago in the fifth parak, actually. So they replaced Havdalah Lakos with Havdalah Betchila. There's no cost to that. And then when they once again acquired resources, they reinstituted Havdalah Lakos. They mandated it, but they didn't do away with Havdalah and Betchila. So there probably were times where people really was a question to be able to afford it. So that may be why people didn't, I could think of sort of those two reasons, why people might not necessarily have been using a kosher bracha. But I think the minhag is to assume the kosher bracha is optional. Most people rarely use it except for maybe with the zimur of asara.
And my machorim was even one individual eating by himself.
Yeah, my machorim is because it's sakana, which is as much as... What's that? So Tosus defends the practice because he says we don't have the smell of Sedonis. The Gemara says the reason why you wash my machorim is because of the smell of Sedonis. So Tosus is defending the minhag, which is probably correct anyway. They didn't have, you know, they weren't getting blinded by the salt in their eyes. So the answer is, you know why we don't do it? We don't do it because we don't. The smell of Sedomis is not Metsuya Beinenu. That's all. Okay.